It's the last book in the Bible. And the first reading we had was more historical. This is visionary. The book in some languages is described as apocalypse, which is a Greek word meaning revelation, which is why it's called revelation. And it means stuff that's being revealed, things that are being unhidden. And I just wanted to say before I read it that, you know, I don't know how many visions you had, but maybe you've dreamt. I've had dreams. When you have a dream, things can happen in the dream that you just wouldn't happen in normal life. You could go for a ride on a horse and then suddenly you're flying. Or suddenly you're trying to talk to somebody and you can't talk because your mouth's full of biscuits. And that sort of thing happens. And it does to me. That's just me, isn't it? Nobody else is admitting that. So this one, I wanted to just think about that as I read it. Just think, this is like a dream, it's like a vision, and things can change and morph and go from one thing to another. See if you can spot where those things happen. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for these things, these words, are trustworthy and true."
Thanks, Pete. Some amazing, some wonderful words. And as Peter was saying, that in this passage that we have just read, John is granted a vision of what will happen in the future. And this should give us confidence that ultimately God is in control. And in his time, he will draw this present phase of creation to a close. Many of us will have seen children taking some Play-Doh and making a model. Then the next one comes along, rolls it all up, and starts over again. And produces something fresh, something new, something different. But it's still being made out of the same materials. And there is something similar going on here. In verse 1, John sees a new heaven and a new earth, and that was necessary because the first ones have passed away. There is a cosmic change going on. But this is not a new idea. It is the culmination of a long process. Pete reminded us, Revelation is the last book in the Bible. If we go back to the first verse in the Bible, we find that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it was good, it was perfect. But we know that humanity spoilt it and damaged it. And since then, God has been working towards a recreation. And in Isaiah, God promises that one day this will happen. He says in chapter 65, verse 17, "See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind." So there was this promise that God had made that says, it's not always going to be like this. I am going to put things right. Paul picks up this theme in 1 Corinthians 7, where it talks about this world and its present form passing away. A chapter later in 8:21, he talks about the creation being liberated from its bondage. It says creation itself is going to be restored. So the new will retain some of the old, but will be totally transformed and reframed and repaired. This is the end goal towards which God has been working for so long, and that has been made possible through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. This is the big picture that God has been working on. And in these verses that Pete read, we're told some amazing things about what this new heaven and this new earth are going to be like. Let me just read verse 3 again to remind you of that. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." And in some senses, Solomon was enjoying this, recognizing that, experiencing that in the temple, that God's presence came and he filled it and God's glory was there. But this is so much deeper, so much wider, so much stronger. God will be among us and with us in a much deeper way than anything we have experienced up till now or are able to imagine. No longer marred by sin, no longer tainted with our failures and mistakes, no longer with our imperfect understanding of God, but with a deeper and fuller vision of who he really is. Then he goes on in verse 4, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. No more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Listen to that amazing promise. He will wipe away every tear. With all the reasons for sorrow, including death, mourning, bereavement, crying, pain, they have disappeared and gone for good. This is something we can think about, something we can anticipate and look forward to, but never really understand completely what it will be like. Because the reality of death, Ian was sharing about the loss of a dear friend, that reality of death, of grief, of sorrow, are things that we carry with us. The memory of past pain, the experience of current pain is difficult to ignore. And these things can easily drag us down, but they will be gone. They will not be remembered. A young child falls down, hurts himself, runs crying to his mother, who sweeps him up, who comforts him, who dries his tears, and his pain is forgotten. But his mother knows that he will be hurt again. And all she can do is continue to be there for him. And she knows that there are hurts that he will experience that she won't be able to deal with so easily. In this wonderful future, as God wipes away our tears, we can be confident that the pains and fears that produce them will never return. Here are three key things from this vision of the future. Verse 5, God has not given up on his creation, but he is making everything new. There'll be nothing left untouched by this transformation. Nothing that is tarnished will not be cleaned. Everything that is broken will be restored. There may be things we have given up on, but God is not giving up on his creation. And neither should we, as we look forward to the time when everything is going to become new. You can go down to the shops today or get something on the internet described as good as new. But it's not new. This will not be as good as new. It will be new. It will be as though it's unused. It will be perfect. God is making everything new. And we will be part of this new creation that God is making. Verse 3, we will be God's people. God will dwell among us. If we'd went on a bit further in the chapter to verse 19, we would find that we would be known as the bride, the wife of the Lamb. We will be living in this city of all the redeemed who have ever lived or ever will live. And verse 3 tells us that in this new creation, God will be their God. Nothing will distract. Nothing will get in the way. No one will take the place that God should have. Much more could be said about these verses. But the question I want to leave us with this morning is about how we live in 2023 as we wait for that promise of God to be fulfilled. How much are we prepared to go along with God in what he is doing? How much are we willing to live as people who will be part of this amazing future? This, friends, if we believe in Jesus, is our destiny. This is the amazing, glorious future that awaits for us. God will make everything new. Are we prepared for God, through the power of his Spirit, to make us new each day? To deal with the brokenness and the hurt that we will experience in 2023. And to be restored. Are we living in the reality that Jesus has dealt with our sin? Do we have that total confidence that we are his and there is nothing more that needs to be done? Are we prepared to trust that he will defeat the evil forces which come against us and to live confidently, trusting in him? Are we living as those who are preparing for being the bride of Christ? Are we planning and preparing to move into this wonderful city when it's available? Each day, as we wait, are we recognizing that God is our God? And do we allow this to change us as we seek to live for him? In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says these amazing words. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Paul is telling us that in some amazing way, we are already part of this new creation. Yes, there is a future moment when God is going to make everything new, but we are part of that new creation today, right now. We are these new people with our old lives left behind us. Let's be willing. Let's seek with everything we are to live in the reality of that. In 2023, as we look forward to the time when God will make everything new. Let's seek that. Let's desire that. Let's live it out. Let's pray for it, for each other, for ourselves, for our church, for our town. We have an opportunity on Wednesday evening to come together on Zoom to pray together for the year ahead. More details to follow on that shortly. But an opportunity to, at the beginning of the year, to ask God to make things new in our lives, in our church, in our town. And let's have that desire for that to be true for each one of us. To live 2023 as the people that we are, the people who are part of that new creation, the people who have been transformed and changed by Jesus, those people who have that amazing future in store. How are we going to allow that future, that reality, to change us and to change the way we approach this year that opens up for us? And as Ian was sharing from his mother, that we can just walk into that year confident in God, that he will lead us into good and great things. It's an exciting prospect. A new year currently untainted by pain and sorrow and suffering, unless we've had a bit of that already. But something that has so much potential. Let's look to experience that with God, wherever he leads and wherever he calls. Let's enjoy sharing that together. Thanks, Heather.